All right, good morning to you. It's good to be back with you, and as Nathaniel said, if you're counting Sundays, it would be 2 months ago. I was here back in November to represent the NTA, and I'm not doing that this morning, just privileged to be able to share the word of truth with you, but I do have some information on your table out there with the offering plates, so if you want to stop and pick something up, or if you forgot to do it last time, it's there. But the privilege to share the word of truth with you is my delight this morning. And my wife, again, is not with me. She's still dealing with shingles, nerve pain in her back and down her legs because of that. And we don't know how long it's going to continue. She is not with me this morning. Interesting drive down from Wisconsin Rapids, a little over 2 hours, between Oshkosh and Fond du Lac. There was three accidents, and apparently somewhat recent because the state troopers and the county sheriffs were there. Nothing that looked serious, no turnovers. It just looked like maybe slippery roads. And then south of Fond du Lac, there was a couple more accidents. So you know what your weather has been around here. And so I really don't know what was the cause of all that, but just interesting. But God gave a good drive, a safe drive, and so we're glad to be with you this morning. How's your January? Are you excited? It's January? I don't know. Seems that to me that this is a month of kind of a for a lot of people. A lot of gloomy days. Normally, some very cold weather, which we've not had. We may still get. You put all of it together, and it certainly would allow for even perhaps the most enthusiastic and the most positive person to maybe just feel a little bit burdened. You put on top of the month itself the politics that we've got going on. And then you put on top of that the medical issues that are going on. And maybe there's other things that are happening in your life. And I believe as God's people, we need to be the up people, okay? Let's not lie about it. You know, if we are dealing with some issues, let's be honest about it. Let's ask prayer about it. But I think that we don't do for God what we could do or what we should do if we allow the circumstances and the elements to kind of put us down. So I have you turn to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to use that as we call a springboard. And so we'll be right in that immediate area for our text and our thoughts this morning. I don't see a watch or a clock. Am I missing something? So I'll put that right there. Like somebody said, well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It does. All right. So, all right. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not be, what? Weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so, I think we need to be challenged with that. We need to be reminded. More than perhaps challenged, we simply need to be reminded. Let us not be weary. Now, again, you may come here this morning and you may have to almost make yourself come this morning. I don't know. But I'm glad you're here. And there's probably not as many here as would normally be here because of weather situations. That matters not. You're here. And I want to be a blessing to you and encouragement to you. Paul is given to conclude this epistle to the believers at Galatia, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. It tells us not to grow tired of doing good. Doing good is hard work. It is. Living for Christ does not come naturally. It has to be spiritually. It doesn't come culturally. The world is against Christ and the cross and against God. So doing good is hard work, especially if someone begins to doubt whether it matters. And so in Galatians, Paul is urging the Galatians to keep living in a way that is constant with what they believe. Thus, we need to be looking for the blessings God is giving as we do good. Can you name a blessing from this past week? Or two? Or three? It's good for us to do that. Otherwise, we get caught up in thinking, well, God isn't doing anything. And you might be thinking that over the last couple of weeks. Well, what is God doing? It sure hasn't turned out the way I thought it would. Well, there is the first thing we need to realize. Our thoughts aren't God's thoughts. Because His ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55. So let us not be weary. Weary is a feeling of showing tiredness, especially as a result of excessive exertion. And that might be mentally. It might be physically. It might be emotionally. We just kind of need to check on those things with the Spirit of God and just say, am I physically being tired? Am I emotionally being tired? And so forth. And so, let us not be weary. That's sort of the introduction. Let's have prayer. Father, we thank You. We can bring the Word of truth. Thank You for these are here. Their Bibles are open, and they're looking at the Word of God, the Word of truth, the Word of power, the Word that will not pass away. We thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, across this great nation and around the world, the Word of truth is going forth. Marvelous, marvelous decisions are being made. Eternities are being set with You, determined with You, made with You. And we're so grateful for that. We thank You for those that are just maybe two or three or four or five that are meeting. We know Your blessing is equal to them as it is with the 4,000 or 5,000 that may be meeting. We thank You for those who may be meeting where it's kind of cool or maybe it's hot. And they don't have the conveniences that we do. But it matters not. It's the heart. So we thank You, the heart desires to know You. As a heart panteth after the water brook, so my heart panteth after Thee, O God, so wrote the psalmist. Bless Your word, use it, minister it to us, Holy Spirit, according to our need, and according to Your blessings, in Christ's name, amen. Now from Galatians chapter 6, I want to have you just focus over on Ephesians. So it maybe you need to turn a page or just look over on the same page, or it might just be right there. But Ephesians is a wonderful epistle. We know that. I'm sure you've had it preached to you more than once. We realize that the first three chapters is what God wants us to know. And then the next three chapters is how God wants us to live out what we know. I'm in my mid-70s, but I'm still a child. I'm a child of God. I'm still learning. I'm still thrilled when I read from the Word of God a truth that I had not, in some 50 years of ministry, still had not really grasped. Or maybe it wasn't God's timing. Have you ever thought about that? As you're reading through the Word of God, you say, wow, I can't believe I haven't seen that before. Well, of course you have. But it wasn't the timing. It wasn't that you needed it back then. It's that you need it now. So this is when God unfolds it to you and draws your attention to it. And that's the marvel of the Spirit of God dwelling in us and having the Word of God to read it. So we know that the last three chapters, God is saying, this is how I want you to live out the theology. This is how I want you to live what now you have learned and have understood. But it's verse 3. And some students of the book of Ephesians think that this may be the theme verse of Ephesians, and it could very well be. I certainly would not argue differently with it. It's a great verse, and this is kind of where we're going to anchor down this morning, if you would. It's Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Let's do this morning. It may not be something you are accustomed to, but bear with me if you would, please. Would you stand with me and let's read together Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. And so in unison, I'm using the King James Version. And so just we may have a little synchronization we need to do here, but reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Appreciate that very much. So we are reminded of our spiritual provisions in Christ. And I believe this is an uplifting verse. This is a January verse. This is a verse that follows disappointments and maybe even some discouragements. Blessed be the God and Father. And so we find here our spiritual wealth is in Christ. We know that. But sometimes we don't always go to the well that we need to go to draw the refreshments that we need. Sometimes it's just how we are. It reminds us again, well, I'm a child. And you know, sometimes a child comes after the fact, and the parent, being a little older and a little more experienced, says to themselves sometimes, I wish he had come sooner. And so we just need to be reminded that we have a great resource. We have an infinite resource here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our spiritual provisions are in Christ. We find here the source is that of God the Father. And what a privilege to come. What a privilege to know Him. You realize how many people use the name God, but they have no idea really who they are addressing. Of course, they aren't. It's just a term. It's just a name. It's just a word that they use. I just read Exodus chapter 20 this morning before I started my drive. And the third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I think often today we consider that profanity, don't we? When we get angry, when we get upset, when we're mad at something, we're not supposed to use the name of God. But really, there's more to it than that. And that's, I believe, any time we use the name of God in an inappropriate way, We have taken the name of the Lord our God in vain, as God would have His name to be reverenced, and as the Father would be jealous of His name, of which He is. I am jealous of my name, Isaiah says. And so we need to be careful about that, because He's the one we go to seek blessing. And blessing is the idea of praise. Praise be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege to praise the Heavenly Father. My dad passed away many years ago. Maybe some of you still have the privilege to have your parent with you or parents with you. I trust you can praise them. I was just listening to something somewhere in the past week, and they were saying how they admire their dad. How he was an example, how he was sort of the mentor, how he was a positive influence. And what a blessing to have that. What a joy to have that. I won't ask you if you remember how many children I have from 2 months ago. It's really not important, is it? But I have 3 daughters. And personally speaking, because the day is coming. I believe in the rapture. I believe it with all my heart. I just don't expect to see it, to be honest with you. I think there's still a lot of work that God has in our time. So, and I'll not know it, but really, one of the great desires of my heart as a parent is to have my daughters look into the casket and say, "He was a good dad." Don't we desire that, parents? Isn't that something we really want? And maybe when we're younger, that doesn't really vibrate very much, but believe me, as you get older, it does. And not only my children, but my grandchildren as well. That they would say, "We love you," and they call me Papa. "We love you, Papa. We'll miss you." To be praised, I believe, is something that we need. It's something that motivates us. And likewise with the Father. So let's come back here to our text. Blessed be the God and Father. Praise our Heavenly Father. Does He need it? No. Does He desire it? Yes. Can He live without our praise? Absolutely. Is He grateful for our praise? I believe so. I believe so. And so it reminds us to come unto our Heavenly Father with praise, with blessing, with adoration, with exaltation, with thankfulness, because He is the source of our spiritual blessing. He is the giver of what we enjoy today. So not only do we have the source of our spiritual blessings, but we also have the scope who has blessed us, it says in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And you say, "Oh, I got to wait." I have a granddaughter who is big into baseball. And just the other day, she went like this. Now, this is okay, all right? But don't misinterpret what I'm doing here. She went like this. And I said, "Oh, you got 4 fingers. That's good." She said, "4 weeks before catchers and pitchers arrive for practice." And is that what you got for me today? But she's big into baseball. And so she's excited about that. What excites us? There's many things. I'm so grateful that God allows us to get excited about things in this world. Excited about different things that come along, different things that happen. But are we excited to excite God the Father? Is it a desire on our part that we would be unto Him blessing, that we would give unto Him adoration, that we would give unto Him the exaltation that belongs to Him? In heavenly places. So my granddaughter's mind is already down in Arizona, someplace on some ball diamond down there where her team is going to be practicing. She regrets that she lives up in Wisconsin and not down there. But there's a truth here, and you've heard it before. You've been told this before. But if you go over to Ephesians chapter 2, and we read it there, beginning at verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has." You get the verb there? It's not "and will." It's not "and might." And it's not "what we think." And it's not italicized, so the writers have not inserted it to give clarity. "And has," or "has, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And we may say, yes, that's what's coming. Praise God. I believe Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, along with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, is telling us in God's sight, we are already there. You believe that? That's, I believe, is what the Bible tells us. Yes, I'm here. You're here. But in God's mind, in the mind of infinity, in the mind of sovereignty, in the mind of the Almighty, He already has us raised up into the heavenly places because He's already prepared for us. So that is, to me, a great thrill and a great blessing. No, I'm already raised up in Christ and sit in the heavenly. So it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if. In Christ Jesus, that if has already been taken care of. It's only a matter of when. Yes. When I was younger, that didn't mean as much. I'll be honest with you. It didn't mean as much. Children to raise, a job to work, a ministry to do, people to reach, a Bible to read, praying to be done. A mother to visit. Those things are a part of our life. And we kind of sometimes allow them to control. Mom's gone, been gone for 10 years now. Children are raised. They have their children. The heavenly places, in reality, is becoming more and more dear. More and more a reality. And so you that may be out there, I see a number of you with your families and that, don't, I'm not being harsh with you at all. I've been there. That's where you are. Enjoy it. Do the best you can. Love your family. If your parents are still with you, love them. Do all you can for them. Because as life moves on, I believe so does the truths of the Word of God. And so we are already in heavenly places. What a blessing that is. So we have our source as God the Father. We have our scope as not only what we enjoy down here, but what also is being reserved for us in heaven. And then we have the sphere of our spiritual possessions, which is in heaven. And I've shared chapter 2 and verse 6 with you. We're also reminded of that over in Colossians chapter 3. And at verse 1 it says, if ye then be risen with Christ. And again, that is not a conditional to the believer. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 would better understand since it's unconditional. It's already been done in Christ. Since ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And so we have that. We have also those words back in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 that have been an anchor for many. For our conversation or our conduct, or our manner of life, as the word conversation is sometimes identified, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And so the Apostle Paul could say back there in chapter 1, for me to live is Christ, and yet to die is gain. Kind of a paradox to the unsaved person today. You go out and mention that to a person who don't know Christ, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, and they're going to look at you. And they're going to wonder, what's their problem? We don't have the problem. We have the assurance. We have the scope of the heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. We have that promise. We have that assurance. We have that confidence. Let January be January. Let the politics be the politics. Let the virus be the virus. And if it has struck your family in some way, I understand that. I've had 3 family members get it. They've all come through it okay. But they say it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to experience it. And so maybe some of you here have had the virus, or maybe some of your family members have had it. I've not had it. I don't go out looking for it, but if it comes, it comes. But let us realize that these are just really short-lived fads of life. These are just little hiccups in life. The greater life is that which we have in Christ. As Ephesians 1:3. Says to us in heavenly places. And then I just want to touch on verse 4 here. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holding without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us on to the adoption of children. I'm glad I had natural parents. I sometimes wonder, and maybe some of you are here, what it is to go through the emotions of being adopted. However all that is, to us who have or had natural parents, I don't believe we can understand that emotion. Those questions. Likewise, that one who perhaps has been adopted cannot really totally understand what it is to have natural parents. But it is a great truth of the Word of God. I've been adopted. Adopted from what? The principality of this world has been forced to loosen me when I called on the name of Jesus Christ. Because Christ was waiting there to take me into His care. And the Heavenly Father was there waiting to bring me into His presence, spiritually speaking. And so I have that great privilege, that great truth, as you do also. He has adopted, we are adopted as the children of God. It says over in Romans 8, not only adopted, but then heirs of Christ, joint heirs with Christ. What is His is ours. The devil has no interest in that whatsoever. What I mean by that statement is the devil shares nothing good. He is a liar and a deceiver. The only thing he wants to share is misery and destruction and hurt. Christ, as joint heirs with Him, shared with us what He has as the Son of God. And so we are heirs with Him, adopted, which means that we have entered into God's family by salvation. We have attained unto that position. We are to praise Him. We are to speak of His grace. And so it's a great truth here that we have. In Christ, there's a fullness. In Christ, there is a life that satisfies. In Christ, we praise the Father. We bless God the Father. In Christ, we are in the heavenly places already spiritually. In Him, we have been adopted into the family of God. May that be an undergirding for you. Maybe tomorrow you'll get that word that you were not expecting of something that's unpleasant. I trust the Spirit of God would bring back to you this word of great comfort to you that we read here in Ephesians 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, and so many other places in the Word of God. It may even be today. I trust not. I trust you'll have a good Lord's Day, a restful, relaxing Lord's Day. In whatever you plan to do. But this is God's desire for us. This is God's delight for us. May I even say it's the will of God for us that we praise Him because we know Him and He knows us. Let's bow together in prayer, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we come to You. We come to You in Jesus' wonderful name. We come to You in the name that is above every name. We come to You in that name of the blood shed. that overcomes all things of life and has given us the promise of eternal life.